I guess if we were to sit down and someone was to say to us, hey, what are the most important ingredients that go into making up a relationship? Probably patience isn't one that would leap immediately to mind. And yet as I've been thinking about this week, it seems to me that impatience, like a stone in your shoe, it's such an irritating thing. And if you're trying to develop a relationship with someone who's an impatient person, it is such a trying experience. And it's real hard. And you feel like you're walking on eggshells around this person, and you've just got to make sure you say the right thing or you do the right thing the right way, or else, boom! And impatience is manifest. And if you're trying to build a long-term relationship, now we had an example tonight from Lindsay and Juliet of a marriage, but I'm not just talking about a marriage relationship tonight, it's just about relationships. Relationships are a fascinating thing because we all want to get on well with people. And the problem is, and it hurts us when we don't get on well with people. And we all would like to think, I wish I could get on better with people. And most often when we encounter an impatient person, we think, oh, what have I done wrong here? And we think, oh, I wish I could somehow figure out what to do. So tonight I want to talk about this whole deal about patience. I discovered this week that in the ancient Greeks, 2,500 years ago, they actually felt, when it came to building relationships, this was actually the most important of all the virtues, which intrigued me. The Greek word for patience is actually very hard to translate into English. It's the word used in the Bible as well, which we translate patience. But it actually is a couple of words that mean long heat, which isn't an English word. You could translate it into English as long suffering, which would be near, or slow burning, which would sort of give the same idea. And as I was thinking about this, it seemed to me that here's a possible English translation, is a long fuse. If you're a patient person, you've got a long fuse. We all talk about people with a short fuse. We know what that is. You just say the wrong thing and boom, the stick of dynamite goes off. But patience is having a long fuse. And patient people are nice people to be around. Something upsets them and, oh, well, let's not worry about it, And actually, we've had a few sort of the car wrap around the building and lampposts and other cars. And I remember one time, actually, this isn't in here, I just was sparked off by him. Marge arrived back up the drive and there'd been a tree jumping around Hagley Park, hadn't there really? And so she came terrified up the drive. It was a Sunday afternoon. And what she didn't know is that we had a visiting speaker to speak at the church that night, and he was an older, dignified man. And he and I were sitting in my study praying about the night when she drove. Now, that was very fortuitous for her, wasn't it? Because here was me deep in a godly frame of mind. And she came out and she came in, and so here the two of us came out and I viewed the car. And, well, that's interesting. That was interesting. There were one or two other ones too, but I'll quickly move on. If you're a patient person, you put up with annoyance and frustration and irritation. It's interesting, patience is a theme in the Bible. It's actually dealt with quite a lot in the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is a fascinating book. Proverbs is in the Old Testament, the part of the Bible that was written before Jesus came. And it's got all these wise sayings, 31 chapters long. And it's just packed full of all these wise sayings, sort of the wisdom of the ancient world. And so tonight, because it says quite a lot about patience and having a short fuse, I thought what I'd like to do tonight is talk to you about this from the book of Proverbs. And the first thing it says in Proverbs, and this is on the outline here, which you would have got as you came in tonight, which is full of blanks so you can fill them in, is that impatience is the lifestyle of a fool. Don't be a fool, it says, and quickly lose your temper. Be sensible and patient. It's smart to be patient, but it's stupid to lose your temper. So here's my first point tonight. Impatience is the lifestyle of a fool. Now, that's not very politically correct, is it? But never mind. Here it is in the Bible. Patience is the lifestyle of a fool. Now, why does the Bible say this? If you're impatient, you're a short-fused person, why does it say that? Well, you know why? Because, losing your patience doesn't do you any good. This is a self-evident truth. It doesn't do you any good. And in fact, losing your patience is a most unpleasant experience. If you come across someone and they've lost it, they're really giving vent to their impatience, and it's coming out, the steam out their ears, and their face is red, and they've really lost their patience. They don't actually break off in the middle of it. It's when they see you come into the room and say, "Hey, I'm having fun tonight," and go back to venting their impatience, because experiencing impatience is a very unpleasant experience. Now, I came across some modern proverbs along the same kind of line about patience. I thought I'd read them to you. There's four of them. If you lose your temper, you're the one to lose. You'll never get to the top if you keep blowing your top. And this one's quite clever, I thought. Give people a piece of your mind and you'll lose your own peace of mind. But the best one was a bumper sticker. Honk away, it's your ulcer. Now, according to this, if you come across someone and they're really impatient, they're not manifesting patience in their relationships, you can go up to them, say, "Hey, do you know what the Bible says about you?" "No," they say. "You're a fool." Now, that won't, win friends and influence people, but according to what the Bible's saying here, it's actually true. Now, why is it so true? If you're just an impatient person, why have a reflection on it. I mean, it's not only is it harmful for relationships, which we'll get onto in a moment, but it doesn't actually do you any good yourself. So therefore, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I losing patience all the time with this stuff? Why am I doing it? Let me suggest the answer to that. And that is that when we are impatient, most often we've got an exaggerated sense of our own importance. Why am I being kept waiting by these people? I think around work and often around home, I'm reasonably patient until I lose something. Now, I don't know what happened to me in my early childhood that made me like this, but if I lose something, I've got to find it. I mean, it's very important to me. The most consumingly important thing to me in my life is that this thing be found. This is a source of great irritation in our relationship, really, because Marge is much more easygoing and much more patient than me, and she keeps saying, "Well, it will turn up." But how do we know? I mean, how do you know, I mean, you don't know, do you? That's the point, I mean, if you don't find it might not, Someone might have run off with it and you'd never find it. And think of the loss, She said to me on Friday, one of the kids said to me, "You have to say what happened on Friday night." You see, I was going off to speak at Promise Keepers in town. And I appeared, "You can't wear that." "Oh, no. I'm running late. I've got to be there." "No, you can't." So I reappeared. "You look at me now, you can't wear that either." "Oh, no. Don't you know what time I've got to be in town?" And one of the said family members agreed, "No, you can't wear that. Dad, so I appear in the third door. What about this?" "No, that's not." Nice. I went out the door graciously wearing what I was wearing in the first place. And as I drove off down the road, I was thinking, now, Sunday night, what am I speaking about again here? The thing that actually gets me is when you go in some place and you're looking for good service, you go into a shop or a government department. And I think it's reasonable. I pay my taxes to these people, And I stand here in a line, and the time goes by and you get to the counter and this person is not pleasant, Now, they're better than they used to be in the old days, eh? A little bit. And I find this stuff coming up within me. So anyway, one particular night, Marge and I were there. It was a retail outlet. It wasn't the government department. And I kind of explained to this person why they were wrong, And I thought this was an issue of justice, and that it was wrong. And so on. And as we went out, she said to me, "You know what you sounded like?" I said, "No." She said, "A grumpy old man." It did occur to me, I could hardly have said to that person, "Hey, you want to come along to our church on Sunday night and I'm going to talk about how life goes better if you're patient." So that's the first thing. Impatience is the lifestyle of a fool. I mean, think about it. If you're inclined to debate with me afterwards, I mean, just think about it. That doesn't do you any good, blowing your stack. Doesn't do you any good. It's the lifestyle of a fool. Okay. Now, the second point tonight is that patience is crucial in relationships. Here we've got a couple of verses on that too. Here we go. Losing your temper causes a lot of trouble, but staying calm settles arguments. Don't make friends with anyone who has a bad temper. You might turn out like them and get caught in a trap. And why does it say this? Well, the thing about impatience is that it doesn't do us any good, but it doesn't do any good to others. Have you ever noticed this? That often if we become impatient, it produces the same response in other people? You're standing here with this person and you get really impatient, and so you start shouting. You know what they do? They shout back at you. And you can see this thing happening all the time. That's the nature of patience, impatience. And that's why, of course, it gives this advice here. If you want to learn to be patient, it's a good thing to hang out with patient people. They have a good effect on you. If you hang out with a whole lot of impatient people, it does bad things to you. People who are impatient to you, it makes you kind of want to respond like that back again. If you want to grow in patience, you hang out with patient people. Now, point number three. We can learn to be patient. Here's the next verse. It's wise to be patient, it says in Proverbs, and show what you are like by forgiving others. It's very difficult to be patient. I need to come up, and it's very difficult to learn to be patient. And the reason for this is that when we lose our patience, there's a whole process goes on within us. The adrenaline starts pumping, and it flows into our bloodstream, and our muscles become tense, and our pulse quickens as our body prepares to respond, and our voice becomes shrill, and we begin shouting, and we have a desire to lash out. Now, this is what impatience does to us. There's a whole kind of process starts in our body. Now, it's very difficult once this starts. Right in the middle of this, the adrenaline's pumping. Your face is flushed and your voice is shrill and all this stuff. Your muscles are tense. All of a sudden, to think, I'm going to be patient. So what do? Well, there's an old saying, that if you find yourself getting angry, you count to 10. Thomas Jefferson said, if you're angry, count to 10. And if you're really angry, count to 100. And you think, well, is this just folklore? And it isn't, actually. Because when your body responds to stuff like this, you become impatient. And all this adrenaline starts flowing around, your muscles tense up, and you feel all this stuff. What your body needs is actually time to calm down. And so, while it may sound like old folklore and so on, there's a lot of sense in it, really. Now, some people today say that's wrong advice. What you need to do is you just need to get in touch with your feelings. So you feel a bout of impatience coming on, well, you just get in touch with yourself and you just give vent to it. You express your impatience. I saw one writer who said, it's good to picture yourself with a bucket load of impatience, he said. And so you're going around here, and here's this person, and so what you do is you upend it over them, whoff, and you give it all to them. And he said, you'll feel much better. But tonight we're talking about building relationships. And the problem with this, if all you're interested in life is making yourself feel better, then go ahead and do it. But if you're actually interested in building relationships with people, knowing how to get on to people, it's about the worst thing you can ever do. Because the problem is you empty your bucket load of impatience, but we don't actually have a bucket load of impatience. We have a factory inside us which keeps producing all this stuff. And so once you empty your bucket, the factory goes into overtime. And very soon you've got another bucket and you're just waiting for some other poor unsuspecting customer to come along and whoof, over your bucket goes all of them. And that's not very helpful. You may feel a lot better. But we're talking tonight about building relationships. So other people say what you do, if you feel yourself you're losing your patience, you just kind of push it down. You know. As I've said before, I've came across this quotation a while ago that if you swallow your anger, your stomach keeps the score. So what if you do? How do you learn to get patient? Well, we're told in the verse here. How do you learn to be patient? You learn to forgive other people. Now, when you set out on a lifestyle of following Jesus, which is all about forgiveness, because he forgave us, and you set out forgiving people who you perceive wronged you, you feel real funny about it. And here you are, someone's done some stupid thing to you, and you think, here they are living the lifestyle of a fool, and they're going to make me lose my patience. And so I'm getting real impatient. And you think to yourself, now I'm going to forgive them. They're just being silly. This is not worth upsetting myself about. I'm going to forgive them. It's real hard. Until we learn how to forgive. It's real hard to start with. And you think, I feel strange about this. My whole body is pumping away by now. The adrenaline's flowing. My voice has grown shrill. My muscles are tensing. And what else was going on? All these things, where are they? Yeah. The adrenaline was flowing into the bloodstream and your desire to shout and all this stuff. All this is going on. I say, no, I'm going to forgive them. And it feels unnatural. And that's right. It is unnatural. Because your whole body's programming yourself to respond in an impatient manner. So what you need to think about, hey, if I keep on going down this track, if I keep giving in to those impatient feelings I've got, if I dump my bucket load of impatience all over the silly person, what's it going to do? Is that going to help us grow into a more meaningful relationship with each other? What's it going to do? So you've got to think one jump ahead. You've got to get a perspective on life. And this is where this forgiveness comes from. That, hey, if I just simply give in to this negative stuff pumping around in my body, it may make me feel good for a moment, but in terms of relationship building, this is so destructive. And the power for breaking this thing comes from learning how to forgive. I read a story about Abraham Lincoln. When he was president, he had a fellow named Stanton who was his Secretary of State. And on one occasion, Lincoln sent a directive to Stanton, the Secretary of State. And he gave him some instructions. So this messenger took the message along to this chap Stanton, and he read the thing. And he grew red in the face and he began to shout. And he said, the president, President Lincoln is a fool, and he tore this thing up. So the messenger goes back to Lincoln. And he says, Mr. President, Secretary of State Stanton said that you are a fool. Apparently, Lincoln initially got rather flushed. And then the story goes, he grinned and said, well, he's probably right. And you know, in that lies a profound lesson about patience. You know what it is? It's not to take yourself too seriously. I think most often we become impatient because we take ourselves too seriously. How come these people can upset my day and don't they know how important I am and all the important things I've got to do? And why is it life going the way I've planned it to? And we take ourselves far too seriously. I was very impressed with that story when I read it. If you find it difficult to forgive, Try thinking of the one who forgave you. When they were putting Jesus on the cross and they were putting the spikes through his wrists, he didn't respond in anger or impatience, which he had every right to do. He said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." And there's the model. You want to cut the power, if you're an impatient person, and you want to cut the power of this impatience in your life, the biblical answer is to learn to forgive. And if you find it hard to forgive, our model for forgiving is Jesus himself. He forgave you. And he will impart his grace and his love that you can learn to forgive. So that's the third point. Now we're over the back now on to point number four, which is patience reflects the character of God. These aren't from Proverbs, but a couple of verses in the Bible. "Then he," that's God, "passed in front of Moses and called out, 'I am the Lord God. I am merciful and very patient with my people. I show great love and I can be trusted.' The Lord is merciful. He is kind and patient, and his love never fails." Patience reflects the character of God. You know, the most well-known story that Jesus ever told was about this amazing virtue. There were two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Dad, give me my share of the inheritance." And his father gave it to him, and he went off into the far country, and he wasted his inheritance on wine, women, and song. And he made a mess of his life. And he ended up working in the pigsty, which is the worst thing a young Jewish boy could ever do. And his life was at a dead end. The story is actually about Dad. And while the young son was far away from his father and wasting his money on wild women and stuff, you know what his dad was doing? Patiently at home, he was waiting. And there's an amazing line in the story that Jesus tells, and it's, "One day the son came to his senses and he thought, 'What a fool I've been, a lifestyle of a fool. I'm going to go home to Dad. And I'm going to say to Dad, Dad, the servants in our house living a better lifestyle than me, I just want to come home and I want you to treat me as one of your hired hands.'" And you know, the line in the story is this, that the father saw him coming from a long way off. And you know what that means? That Dad had been waiting patiently all this time while his son went off into the far country and he wasted his life. And all the time, Dad was waiting patiently. I kind of picture him every night going out there, you know, looking down the road. I wonder what he's doing. Because you do this when your kids wander off, don't you? You know, you lie there at night, you think, I wonder what they're doing. And while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him. And he ran to him and he embraced him and he said, "This is my son who was lost and now he's found." You know who Dad in the story is? Dad is God. And some of us here tonight, you know, we've wasted our lives. We've gone into some real dead-end streets. And as you look back on your life, you think, man, I could have done better than this. I'm in a cul-de-sac in my life. And you probably think of God, because most people do think of God like this, that if you do think of God, that he'd be real angry at me and he'd be waiting to get me. And I guess all this time, he's just been waiting to get me. That isn't actually what Jesus said. Jesus said that the Father is patient. And he's seen what you've been doing with your life and he's been grieved. I mean, he's seen you make a whole lot of bad choices in your life and do wrong things. But his attitude towards you is unbelievable. It's one of patience. And he's waiting and he's thinking, when are they going to come to their senses and think, hey, my love for them is so great, why won't they come back to the Father's love? And so what Jesus is telling us in this story is that this quality we're talking about tonight of patience is right at the heart of God. This is what God is like. God is patient. I am staggering. Therefore, if we're going to have good relationships with other people, we've got to learn how to be patient. How do we learn to be patient? We discover the character of God. We open our lives up to God because He wants to make us like Jesus was. So that's the long-term goal. It takes a long time with most of us, but that's the goal. God's been watching all our failures, not with anger, but with patience, and He's waiting. And the last point I want to make tonight here, number five, is that patience is what in the Bible is called a fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you're an impatient person, you might sort of walk out of here tonight and you think, right, from now on, I'm going to be patient. So you get out there in a situation tomorrow and you feel the adrenaline running into the bloodstream. You feel your muscles tensing and your voice growing shrill. And the temperature rising, you think, I'm going to be patient. You know what happens, don't you? This time I'm going to overcome this. I will be patient. And you know, can't, the pressure is so growing, you can't control it anymore. And bam. And you think, oh, I don't know, this is a waste of time. I shouldn't have gone there last night. Yeah. You know, patience doesn't occur best through self-effort. In fact, self-effort is a bit of a dead-end street trying to control patience because you're fighting uphill against all this adrenaline-pumping stuff. How does it happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. I'll tell you a story. A few weeks ago when I mowed the grass for the first time at the end of the winter, you know, the spring was growing and the spring was coming, the grass was starting to grow and you haul out the mower again, you know, you think, oh no, it's back to this again. And so I start mowing the grass, and outside our house, in our street, there's a whole row of silver birch. And as I was out mowing the bit of the grass outside there, I noticed all these leaves over the ground. And I thought, oh, this is not autumn. This is spring. What are all these leaves doing all over the ground? And then it occurred to me that as I looked up at the trees, here were the first little signs of new life. And that what had happened was these old leaves had hung on to the tree right through the winter. You know, most of the leaves came off in the fall, the autumn. But some of the leaves had hung on the tree right through the darkness and the coldness of the winter. And when the spring came and the new life began to flow down through the branches of the tree, the sap, as it came through, pushed off these dead things. And that's how to overcome impatience. You let God's Spirit come into your life, and His Spirit works in our heart, and His life pushes out all these bad habits and this bad stuff that we can't actually control by our own effort. And that's the gift of Jesus. He says to us, look, if you come to me, and you trust your life to me, you open your heart to me, you become my follower, I'm going to give you the most wonderful gift, and it's the gift of my Spirit. So we open our lives up to Jesus, and we say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And He says, I've got this amazing gift for you. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you begin to be aware of His new life inside you. And I think most of us who've become followers of Jesus have become aware of that within a few days. I certainly did. And there was some stuff in my life that I wasn't very pleased with, and some of it disappeared. Now, some of the stuff in my life have been like the dead leaves in winter, and they've hung around for a long, long, long time. But I know, inasmuch as I open my life up to Jesus and to His Spirit, all this dead, old, gnarled stuff, it falls off. Inasmuch as I don't let the new life of Jesus flow down through my life, all this other stuff that I'd sooner not have, it kind of hangs around for too long. So what's the secret of patience? The secret of patience is learning to trust God. God actually knows what's best for our lives. We can actually trust Him. He knows what's best, and he'll work things out for good for us. Martin Luther, he reckoned the most amazing message that was ever preached to him in all his life was preached by a little robin, whom he grew quite attached to. And this little robin, apparently, where Luther sat in his house in Germany, and this little robin used to fly and land on his windowsill, and so he took to putting breadcrumbs out each night. And the robin would come in and get his breadcrumbs, and then he'd go and sit in the tree, Luther said, and he'd sing a great song of thanksgiving to God, and he'd put his head under his wing, and he'd go to sleep. And Luther said, and he used to talk about this, night after night, as he watched that little robin, he learned more about trusting God than he learned from all the messages that he'd heard about him. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. And he'll look after you, and you can trust him. So why bother to be impatient? It doesn't do us any good. It's a lifestyle of a fool, the Bible says to us. It is crippling and destructive in our relationships, and the secret, finding patience, learning to trust God. Let's all stand up for prayer. There are some things we talk about here, and you may be able to think to yourself, well, this isn't a problem of mine, but none of us are exempt. This is something that gets to all of us, actually, and it can be very destructive in our relationships with other people. So just as we stand here tonight, we just be quiet for a moment. And if this is your problem, just in the quietness, you tell God about it. God, I don't want to be blowing up all the time and harming my relationships with other people. You acknowledge it to God. And then ask God for his forgiveness. Because he promises that to us through the cross. And then ask Jesus that he put more of his Spirit into your life, that the patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit, might flow out to other people, and this will be such a positive thing in building good relationships with others. Forgive us, Lord, when we're impatient. It doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do anyone else any good. And really, it's all a bit silly when you think about it. Who are we anyway that we figure we're so important that we can get worked up about others? Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, help us to open our hearts up to you. From you, we may find the gift of your Spirit who wants to work patience in our lives. Thank you we've been able to be here tonight, Lord. It's been a long, warm evening. But we thank you for being able to be here. Help us to grow in patience and love towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.